Today we want to focus on this thought. When we fast and pray, get this is what the word really teaches, and I have experienced it myself and seen others experience it. When we fast and pray, the yokes are broken, healing quickly appears, and our prayers are answered. Did you know the Bible says that? An ungodly lifestyle, however, can cancel out the results of prayer and fasting. If a person is not living right, even though they're fasting and praying, they're not going to have a lot of results unless it brings them to repentance. I'll pause there now and then for amen, but if I don't get it, I'll move on. But godly fasting, produces blessing and deliverance. You say, well, how do I become godly? If there's anything in your life you know that's not pleasing to God, you ask Him to forgive you, and He will. Can you say amen? Well, it can't be that simple. Well, it is. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to this, Isaiah 58:3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves? And remember, in the Bible, when they humble themselves, it's always with fasting. And sometimes it just flat says it, other times it doesn't. Why have we humbled ourselves with fasting and you have not noticed? Verse 4, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. God says, your fast is not working because you're full of selfish ambition and strife, fussing and fighting with each other, even hitting each other. I'm not going to ask you prayers. Do you stop that? God expects us to live godly lives and live with agape, self-giving love, and not always fussing and fighting, trying to get our way. I found out if I want my way, just turn the thing over to God, casting all your care upon Him, let Him care for you. And if what I want is in the will of God, He'll deliver. I don't have to fight to get it. He'll bring it to me. And if I do have to do something to get it, He'll tell me what to do and how to do it, and He'll help me do it without having to beat somebody up. You got two amens, so I can keep going. If you obey my voice, these blessings will come on thee and overtake thee. I pray that over you every service, at the end of the service, I ask Deuteronomy 28, if you obey my voice, hearken to my voice, these blessings will. But what if you're not obeying His voice? What if He's told you to be in church and you're watching my live stream? I'm kidding. But anyway, hear and obey the voice of God. Fasting can produce victory and healing. I said fasting can. Where do you get all this stuff? Right out of the Bible. As you know by now, I don't read other people's books. I read the Bible. What I preach comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the Bible. I read, but it's reference books and things that help me go to the next level and really know what I'm talking about. It's not what some preacher thinks about healing. You can, and of course I'm a preacher, and you can believe me. If I'm reading the Bible. If I'm reading the Bible, and I am. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. We need to be praying that over the United States of America, that God would break the demonic strongholds and the demonic hate off of this nation. Can you say amen? Fasting and praying to turn this nation and turn people back to God, back to the truth, back to the Bible. Fasting is designed to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. What kind of bondage, stronghold, addiction do you have? Even food addictions. God can set us free if we do what we're told to do, pray and fast. Well, I don't see any need of fasting. Well, the people in the Bible did. Jesus saw a need of fasting. He was the Son of God. He fasted 40 days. And the Jews of the day fasted 2 days a week, so I tend to believe he fasted 2 days a week as well. Amen. Prayer with fasting can produce healing, restoration, and wholeness. Verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? You say, where do you get this idea? You need to be giving. Right there. It says you need to be generous. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? I mean, the money you're saving on food, you can give it to somebody else. Amen. Indeed. God says, while you're fasting, I expect you to be generous and not be greedy, even during the fast. Verse 8, when you pray, and I'm just telling you what the Bible says and telling you how to be blessed, but if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. It's not going to bother me. Yay. Because I know it's true. I believe it, and I've been doing it for years, the fasting part for about 45 years. And God has healed me about everything that is. I mean, God, it's been fantastic, and I just testify it really works. Verse 8, now, this is when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Read that with me. Your healing will quickly appear. Does it say might? I have a tendency to practice it with a might. There's no might there. And the things I'm telling you that you have to be careful about, the reason I know that is because I've been there, done that. Can you say amen? You have to believe the Word of God. Sometimes the devil is bringing such great doubt into your life. You just got to stand and just look straight at the Word of God. Not even look to left or right. You get into the midst of your heart, you just focus on it. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they're life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What I'm reading to you is life and health. It's all your flesh. And I believe in healing probably more than anybody else on the planet. But very seldom I've been healed with somebody else laying hands on me. It's nearly always when I'm meditating on God's Word and praying over God's Word. This is powerful stuff. And if you meditate on it long enough, it'll get in your spirit and you start believing it from the inside. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. And the things that's been binding you and keeping you in a lifestyle that's not righteous, it'll be gone. Verse 9, then you will call and the Lord might answer. You just never know what he's going to do. That's what people say all the time. Then you will call, but you see it's not what the Bible says. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Very often I'm walking around and a negative thought comes or something happens that kind of scary. And I say, Lord, take care of this. And I can hear him say very often, I've got it. I've got it under control. I'm going to work it out. When you call and the Lord will answer, you will cry for help. And he will say, I've got it. Here I am. And when you hear that, grab it. Believe it. Put a smile on your face. Can you say amen? God has spoken to you. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your need. And if you've been a part of this fast, even if you're not fasting food, if you come to these services, you got cards filled out, you're involved, then you're going to benefit from the full results of the fast. Can you say amen? It's beneficial to be in this environment. Amen. When we are praying and fasting, the yokes are broken. That's what it says. Healing quickly appears and your prayers are answered. Prayer with fasting works for all of us. I went to Dr. Youngi Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, and they have a prayer mountain, and I went there. They have people sick and dying there by the hundreds and thousands. I think now they've got more than one. And this was many, many years ago. And about everybody that goes there fasting and praying, they get healed. And that's about all they do. They try to take care of them as much as they can medically, but they're depending not on medicine. Most of them are way beyond that. And God just heals them left and right. Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land of the house of the Lord. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord, our God, your God, and cry out to the Lord. The purpose is to cry out to God. You see, we've called a sacred assembly. What's that? When people come together, fast and pray together and seek the face of God. That's exactly what they're doing right here. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, they did the same thing in the New Testament. Remember at Antioch when Paul and Barnabas, did I read that last week? There the whole church is praising God with fasting, and then the Lord speaks to them and tells the church to send them on the mission field, and they do. Same thing as we're doing right now, same thing as right here. The New Testament says the Old Testament is our example. Well, I don't have to do it because in the Old Testament, wrong. The New Testament is our example. It's repeated in the New Testament, but you can see from these examples that God used fasting. He worked miracles in the lives of people. And the one that's telling us this stuff is in the Old Testament, it's not for today, is the devil himself lying to you because he wants to keep you under his thumb. The purpose is to cry out to God, not to go hungry. And that's what we're doing right now. We're praying, meditating on God's word, preaching God's word, believing God for great, mighty things while we fast. Fasting is a part of it, but it's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to cry out to God, pray to God, and hear from God. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and mourning, with fasting and repentance." Weeping and mourning means repentance. "With fasting and repentance. If it worked in Bible days, it'll work in these days." God's still the same. Verse 13, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." He will relent and not bring calamity, even though he may promise it. It says fasting and praying can turn the calamity because God will relent. Somebody say amen. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, what else in the Bible is there that you don't believe? You don't get to say, "I don't believe the Bible." Not if you're born again believer. You can't say that. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." That's why they were in trouble, and that's why they're crying out to God. That's why they got this sacred assembly going. See, he grants mercy. When? When we repent and pray with fasting. Verse 17, "Let the priest say, spare, deliver your people, O Lord." Boy, if God's people, ministers ever pray that, they better pray it right now, because the United States of America is in trouble, and people in this country is really trying to really shut us up as Christians so we can't even say anything but Jesus. I mean, we're under a major attack and we need to wake up. Amen. If you're going to fast and pray right now, it'd be a good time before you miss your opportunity. "Let the priest say, spare your people, O Lord. Deliver your people, O Lord." Verse 18, "Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people." Look what the Lord promises to do when we fast and pray and seek the face of God for America, to stamp out racism and hate and all the different divisions. It's just absolutely silly and ridiculous. When we start praying and believing God to work miracles in this nation, I'm telling you, he'll do it. He's already started. Amen. Can you say amen? Look for a few good signs and you'll find them. "The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain." There's many people concerned about a food shortage, in America and in the world, the Lord, when you pray and fast and repent, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil enough to satisfy you fully. Not just a few cornflakes, but whatever you like. He'll supply it so your youth can be renewed as eagles. Can you say amen? Verse 20, I will drive the northern army far from you. That would be Iran and Russia. Yay. God says, call a sacred assembly and fast and pray to me, and I will supply your every need and deliver you from your enemies. Amen. That applies to America. Let me know where you live. Whatever happens to America affects you and your kids, your family. This nation is important. We pray for this nation. Amen. We need sacred assemblies all over America, and I think we're slowly getting them. There's other churches across the country is fasting and praying right now while we are. Amen. Somebody better be. You ever heard of Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 10? It says the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people. But they paid no attention. That's where America is right now. But America's paying no attention to God and to his word. And even in our public schools, they're teaching our kids there is no God. Human life is not sacred. He's just another animal. If you board a baby, no problem. It's just an animal. Don't tell me not doing it. If you don't know that, you're asleep. And they're attacking your faith and calling you names to your kids. And they, every one of them's not doing that. But all you need is just a couple of teachers in a school and it gets around. Because they rotate teachers, rotate classes. Especially when you get in high school. Somebody say something. Okay, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 10. This is probably, according to the word of God, the most wicked king Israel ever had. The Lord spoke to Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33:10. Once again, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. In other words, they would not listen and they would not repent. They were enjoying their sin. But judgment day always comes. Verse 11, so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria. Well, you said God doesn't bring bad things against people. I did not. I said that he doesn't bring bad things on good, godly people. You need to pay attention. I know that some preachers say that. Some churches teach that, but that's not true. And right here, it sure wasn't true. God brought something bad because they were rebels. But God's judgment when it comes is designed to be redemptive, as in this case. It was redemptive. This man repented. Look. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose. Let me know, we got some politicians needs a hook in her nose. Some preachers too. Who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. They kidnapped him out of his own nation, Israel. And it says God sent him. Now, God's not sending a horrible judgment on America yet. He's lifted his hand of protection because he can't protect all the wicked sins, people murdering each other, raping each other, all the horrible things going on. How can he bless that? He can't bless that. So his hand of protection is lifted, but he hadn't sent any bad. He hadn't directly sent anything really bad on America yet. But if he does, it's going to be a sad day. And we can stop that if we fast and pray and repent and turn back to God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen. I think I'm going to read that in a few minutes, but I couldn't help but quote it. God will bring judgment if we will bring judgment if we rebel against his word. In verse 12, it says, in his distress, Manasseh, he sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself. What's he doing? Well, how do they humble themselves? With fasting. That's just what they did. I've read that to you before in different places. It actually says they humbled with fasting, but not every time do they say with fasting, but that's what they did. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself with fasting greatly before the Lord, before the God of his fathers, verse 13. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. When did God move and listen to his plea? When he humbled himself with fasting and prayed, God moved. He's the most wicked king Israel ever had. Just go read the Bible for yourself. Then Manasseh, jumped ahead. So he brought him back to Jerusalem. God took this king out of captivity in Assyria. He brought him all the way back to Israel, to the city of Jerusalem. Because he repented, fasted, prayed, sought the face of God, and God listened. I think he might listen to you too, if you can believe this. God is no respecter of persons. If they can get results through praying and fasting, I can. And I have. This is one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. When he repented of his wicked ways and humbled himself with fasting, God restored him to the throne. No matter how ungodly a person is, if he will repent and humble himself and pray and fast and seek the face of God, he can be restored. Amen. And if somebody's not saved, you need to be praying and fasting for them. You say, well, how are they going to fast when they're not even saved? That's your job, to fast and pray for them. Yes. To break the blinders off so they can see. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you think I'm doing all this fasting just for me? No. For you and God's people, my family, the nation. King David knew that God honors prayer with fasting, 2 Samuel 12:13. I'll read through this kind of quickly because it really is amazing. Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die." There's a penalty for rebellious sin. Can you say amen? This is when David had an affair with Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah, trying to cover it up. He really thought he could cover it up. But Nathan said, no, God saw it. You think you can cover it up from God? And God has forgiven you because you've repented. But that baby's going to die. I was praying for a baby once that was dying with cancer. I was praying and I wasn't going to let go. Man, I was believing God. God spoke to me. He said, there's sin in the parent's life and I'm not going to heal that baby because they won't repent. Well, I didn't accept that. So I just kept right on praying, kept on believing, trying to bind the devil and the baby died. You just can't do anything you want to do. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. Can you say amen? After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. Verse 16, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and wept and went into his house, spent the nights laying on the ground. Verse 18, what's he doing? He's fasting and praying and believing that God will relent and heal that baby. Because God had a reputation of doing that. Amen. On the seventh day, the child died. Verse 20, then David got up from the ground. Now look, this is what you need to do. I need to do. His servants asked him, why are you acting like this? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He got up, took a bath, put on his clothes, paraphrase a little bit, asked for something to eat, and the servants are amazed. But we thought you'd be crying your eyes out. He says, no, I've done everything I can do. I sinned. I repented. God has spared my life. You know, for those crimes, he should have been stoned to death. But because he repented and he had a heart for God, God forgave him, and he wasn't stoned to death. He said, God is good. He's blessed me. What I did was terribly wrong, and that baby is gone. I can go to the baby. That's one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible about when babies die, they go to be with God, and you get to go be with them later on. Wow. On the seventh day, the child died. Then David got up from the ground. He had already repented, made things right with God. He did everything he could for that baby. Well, what do you do, preacher, when you fast and pray and they still die? You rejoice that they went to heaven. That's what you do. There's a time appointed and a man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. This baby had an appointment to die because of the parents' rebellious sin. But the baby went to heaven. Can you say amen? And you wish you could have grown up in heaven. His servant asked him, why are you acting like this? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. The answer was, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Amen. I never give up. Can you say amen? When the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. He says, worth a shot. God answers prayer with fasting. Amen. You see, God had told him the child would die because of his sin, but he knew fasting was powerful, and he said, I'll just give it a shot. And some of you, God has convinced you, your situation is totally hopeless. Why don't you give praying and fasting a shot? Chance. Who knows? The Lord may be gracious and relent. Verse 24, then David comforted his wife. I want to show you what came out of this. To me, this is the most amazing thing ever. Look at this. Who knows, the Lord may be gracious and relent. He was gracious, but in a different way. Verse 24, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him, guess what? Solomon. Even though they had done that wickedness, and that one child died, when they repented, and when David repented and fasted and believed God, he gave him another child, the greatest king who's ever lived, the wisest king who's ever lived. That's what repentance can do. Can you say amen? Well, preacher, I really messed up. Well, join the club. All of us messed up in some ways that sometimes it may not be as obvious or it's bad before society, but it's bad before God. Amen. Repent and do the word of God when you give and when you pray and when you fast. Yes. There's a reason Jesus told us to do that. Amen. She gave birth to a son, and they called him Solomon. The Lord loved him. The first child died, but God gave them another child named Solomon, the wisest, greatest king who ever lived. God honors those who pray and fast no matter their past, just as he did with Manasseh and David. There's second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Can you say amen? As we see in other places, David lived a lifestyle of prayer with fasting. That wasn't the only time he fasted. Look at this. Psalm 109, verse 24, my knees give way from fasting. This is David. My body is thin and gaunt. Verse 25, I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. How stupid. That guy fasting and praying, that is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Verse 26, help me, O Lord my God. Give me in accordance with your love. save me, I'm sorry, save me in accordance with your love. You see, he is praying and fasting. Verse 28, they may curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. Why? Because I'm fasting and praying, and you're going to honor that. And this time he hadn't murdered anybody. You see, David knew fasting works. He fasted to have victory over his enemies. As a couple came here during the fast many years ago, Tom and Sharon Key, she still comes here. Not every Sunday, but she comes when she can, and she still brings stuff to help our youth. The children's church, they came here during the fast. He had been involved in politics. He was Al Gore's campaign manager when he became a senator. He got involved to some degree with Victor Ashe. Of course, at that point, Victor Ashe was running against Al Gore. He got caught up in that mess, and he had some real enemies. And boy, they were out to get him, destroy him. And he wound up losing his job as 911 director. He put the thing, he's going to put it in place, but he lost that job, and they were ready for a divorce, and they showed up during the fast. And we prayed over them. They joined the fast, began to fast and pray. They both really, truly rededicated their lives to the Lord, and God saved their marriage. It's unbelievable. And God gave Tom another great job. A few years ago, he had cancer, and he went to heaven. But he worked great miracles in his life. He even had a job working in Ireland. It all happened right here in his church during prayer and fasting. You see, David knew fasting worked, and I know it works. Can you say amen? Psalm 35, verse 13. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. David fasted, says another time, David fasted for his friends when they were sick. We need to fast for each other. I don't have any need of fasting. You got somebody in your family that needs a miracle, needs to be delivered, needs the blinders to come off, or some friend that's a drug addict, alcoholic. You need to fast and pray for them. Amen. Fasting was David's lifestyle. Why? He knew it worked. There's a guy here in the church, Rick Floyd. It's okay, I'll say his name. Forget his name. He came to me during the fast, this many years ago too, and he said, my sister is in the hospital dying. Matter of fact, they've already given up on her, and they're going to pull the plug because they say she's brain dead. She's gone. But I want you to come and pray for her anyway. So I went over, went in the hospital right here at Park West, went back where she was, and sure enough, I never seen anybody that looked more dead except people who are dead. There was no reason to have faith physically. But I laid my hand on her and prayed for her, and I felt the power of God. I mean, it was real. Hallelujah. And as I was leaving, I told her mother, I said, I don't know what happened, but I felt the power of God. So they come in to unplug her, and they did. They unplugged her. When they unplugged her, she sat up in bed, so I want something to eat. You may want to come to this next week if you haven't been coming. Get in here and get involved, special healing services. Can you say amen? God's a miracle working God when people do what they're told to do. When you give and when you pray and when you fast. How many of you know there's a big difference between if and when? Didn't say if. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, here it is, which are called by my name, are you called by his name? Do you claim to be a Christian? Christian means Christ-like. Here's what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. This is really the Day of Atonement that the Jews still celebrate. And it's a day of fasting. It's a day of fasting. So we know that this is about fasting. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves with fasting. It still is a day of fasting. Shall humble themselves with fasting. And pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You ever heard of Bill Bright? One of the greatest men of God who ever lived. He was director of Campus Crusade for Christ. He said, nothing else can compare with the supernatural power released when we fast and pray. You can get his book and read it for yourself. He also said, not only will fasting and prayer transform an individual or church, it can change the course of a nation. Bill Bright, The Coming Revival, 1995, page 102. Now, does the course of America need to be changed? Yeah. The Pilgrims in April 1623 had no grain for 12 weeks. I mean, they were going to starve to death. Their adventure in the new country was done. They met in the blockhouse, all they knew to do. How many know they didn't have no Piggly Wiggly or Kroger's, you know, or some Walgreens or Target with a supermarket in it? They had nothing except prayer and fasting. So they fasted and prayed for just a few hours in the blockhouse, and it rained 14 days just from a few hours of fasting. They changed history, and even the Indians around them noticed what God had done. They survived because of prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God. God's hand was upon them. He blessed them. He saved them. He rescued them. But they had to do their part. Somebody say amen. Nineveh. Have you ever heard of Nineveh? Jonah chapter 3 verse 4, on the first day. See, America can be saved. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. You see, what we're doing is more than just going hungry. We're on a mission to change this country. Starting right here with you and me. Nineveh was a Gentile city. It wasn't Jewish. It wasn't God's people. But when people get wicked, he deals with them no matter who they are. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. That's where America is really messed up. There's not believing God. Even the church is not believing God for at least a big part. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. They believed God and turned to fasting. Well, they weren't Christian, weren't Jews. They were just rebellious, ungodly people. At times, prayer with fasting may be all we have, and that's all they had. It's all the Pilgrims had at one point. It may be all we need, prayer and fasting. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. He relented because they met the conditions of repenting and praying and fasting and seeking the face of God. Even though God had predetermined to destroy them, he had mercy. You see, they turned the judgment of God by prayer and fasting. And God's judgment, you see, with Manasseh, it brought him to repentance. And in the case here in Nineveh, it brought them, that judgment brought them to repentance. I mean, when we see bad things happening all around us, it needs to bring us to repentance and to prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God and repenting the way we're told to do. Let's all say.